Oh, okay. Wow, this is high. I was fine till they said that. Now my heart's starting to beat. I'm an alcoholic. I can do this in 10 minutes. I'm just going to leave this to make sure I don't go over or under. I am an alcoholic. And I will share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now.
I had to take those shoes off.
It's too high. Okay, let's see. I am the youngest of 14 children. I know that always gets a big one. I can start there. It's same parents, single birth. Everybody asks, you know, are the same parents? Any twins? Nope. Or I mean, it is the same parents, all 14 of us. And I'm, like I said, the youngest. So I was born right into insanity. There was no need for practice. And I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota, if you haven't been able to tell already. And that was pretty common, actually, where I grew up, big Irish Catholic families. And I was thinking about that today, and I started to get a little teary-eyed when I was, because I thought, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm here. I'm so grateful my parents had 14 children, and it took me 43 years to say that, you know? And that really broke my heart today because it was so sad, but grateful too, you know? Better late than never, just to appreciate life, you know? And wow, I don't know. So I was born during the Vietnam War. My older brothers and sisters were hippies, and like I said, there was a lot of insanity, and I had a lot of fear immediately as a little girl. There was a lot of chaos. My mom was trying to control not only her household, but the whole neighborhood. It didn't seem like other parents were trying to keep a lid on things, so Claire stepped up. And drove herself nuts, you know, in the meantime. God bless her and rest her soul. So I was afraid of her, you know, too. Although I knew she loved me and she, you know, whatever, that's her deal, right? This is my story. So anyway, there was a lot, you know, as much as there was fear, there was a lot of pride. I knew even as a little girl, I had a feeling of pride. I couldn't have told you that at the time, but I knew it was cool to be a feral because people really liked my brothers and sisters, and I went to St. Luke's grade school, and it was cool to be a Luker because we took state in every sport and every year. You know, it was just kind of like there was this pride and fear and all that stuff in one, you know. Anyway, it was in a very good neighborhood, so that added to the fear and the confusion. And by 10 years old, by fifth grade, my dad got sick of, you know, his kids being scared. He was one of, like, the few fathers that were in the home, and so he moved us all to a nicer area, and that was kind of a taste where, I mean, we got a kick out of that because you could leave your bike outside for 10 minutes and it was still going to be there when you came out. But, you know, that fear carried us, even though, you know, we went to a better neighborhood. That kind of, that's all I can say is I had my first drink when I was in fifth grade at Holy Spirit, and there was no more fear, and I loved that feeling. I loved that, you know, the effects of alcohol, right? Isn't that what it is? And I just didn't care anymore. And it's hard to come by, obviously, when you're 10 years old. The idea was to sneak down my friend's basement as often as I could, you know, and come up a little sillier each time. And that kind of started it. We used to sneak down to the janitor's closet. We found out where the liquor was. Isn't that funny? In fifth grade, we just could sniff it out. So by the time I was a teenager, I knew I was an alcoholic, and that was okay because I figured I was doing the right thing. You know, alcoholics drink. So also, I should say that AA and Al-Anon was always a part of my family's life. There was a big AA house on Summit Avenue. Summit Avenue was, you know, the governor's mansion. Actually, Joan Crock grew up there, and F. Scott Fitzgerald, but there was also an AA house, so everybody eventually ended up there because there was, like I said, a lot of Irish heritage. And so you either were, you know, in AA or my mom would tell me memories when I was 3 years old crawling around the window in the AA house, so it was never, you know, it's a huge part of my life. It's not just, and then I went to my first meeting and, you know, the skies opened, because my first meeting was probably, you know, when I was a toddler. So anyway, knowing I was an alcoholic and figuring I might end up in AA someday, of course, not knowing anything what that would look like or what that really meant. I just knew that, you know, as a little girl, I would see some of my brothers get 90 days, and it was a room like this with these fluorescent lights and a lot of smoke and a lot of laughter and cookies and coffee. And I didn't really know where I was, but, you know, in hindsight, was the seeds probably were planted. I don't know. So long story short, you know, I don't really want to do a big drunkalogue because I think we all know that, well, maybe our stories aren't all the same as I hear. I was a real sloppy, obnoxious drunk, and I guess I was hoping everybody in AA was too, but that's not always the case. I made a huge fool out of myself often, and I never knew what was going to do. I never knew what was going to happen when I picked up a drink, so I found out I didn't make quite a big as fool of myself, or I thought, at all, really, when I smoked pot. And that, to me, seemed like, you know, pretty easy. Relationships, and I think codependency are a big part of my story, too, because I like to pick men who, you know, had access to whatever I needed or wanted. And so I smoked a lot of pot, and that because alcohol scared me. And nevertheless, when I ran out, I was going to go get alcohol, even though I didn't know what was going to happen after, right? I started really getting involved in the program. I only have 2 years. I should say my sobriety date is June 20th, 08. And I started going to AA, like I said. It was always, you know, my nephew has 20 years, and he's only a year younger than me, so I knew about this deal. And I'd sit on the porch of the AA house and smoke cigarettes and wait for my nephew and all his buddies to come out, and I'd go, oh, isn't that cute? They do those meetings, and they don't drink, and they're so sweet, you know, and then whatever. They'd always invite me. They'd say, Annie, do you want to come in and listen? I'd think, no, you know, that's all right. And I only have 3 minutes left, so I guess the best way to describe it, and I said this when I got my 2 years, is that paragraph that talks about I was having trouble with personal relationships, and I couldn't control my emotional nature, and I was a prey to misery and depression. I mean, when I read that, I think, yeah, that's it, you know. I couldn't control my emotional nature. Was so scary because it was, I wanted to, you know, but I couldn't. It was just wherever I went, you know, whoever I came in contact with. And that was really in my first year of sobriety, too, till I got some outside help. I had a sponsor the first 9 months that just said, Ann, I don't think you can help this. You need to see somebody. Because what happened in that first year is that all this stuff I was using to stuff was exploding, you know. And then I will say that I had suicidal tendencies, even in sobriety, if anyone needs to hear that. So I'm grateful that I found some outside help. Because, like I said, it took me 43 years to really be grateful for life, you know. So and I share often that I had to get some outside help to be able to come back and really do this program. Because what I started to say, I think, is that when I, you know, 20 years ago, I got into the program and I had a couple of years. And I thought I was doing it, too. You know, I was going to meetings and reading the book. And what happened is I was out with this girl in AA and she wanted to drink and I didn't want to drink. And I should have just left her there, really, because she was trying to talk me into drinking. She was in AA, I don't know how, I think she had a year, and I had 2.5 years, like I said, and I was really working it. And I know people don't, you know, like to hear that. Well, because I was going to meetings, and I was reading the book, and I was doing all the things you're supposed to do, and I drank. So, and I think that had to do with codependency. So I'm a work in progress, you know. I'm not one of those people who just got sober and everything started to work out, you know. But by the grace of God, and like Mona said, happy birthday, Mona and Joe, just by God's grace, what happens to me, if I want to stay sober and happy and joyous and free and sane, I have to seek diligently my higher power, and that's what I do. That's what I do. And I don't care, like, if I have to bang down doors. I thank God that I had this gift of desperation they talked about, you know, that I, somebody said at my meeting a couple of weeks ago that they don't remember making a decision they didn't want to drink, but they remember making a decision that they wanted to live. And that's what happened, you know, because it got to a point where I didn't, you know, drinking or using, when you're going in and out and in and out and in and out, you're building up so much rationalization and denial, you know, that it takes, for me anyway, a lot more walls to knock down, and I really had to decide that I wanted to live, and I started to have some health problems. I don't want to go over here. Here I thought it was going to, you know, I'll wrap it up, because what happens, I started to have some health problems that scared me enough to make me realize that I couldn't just bounce back every time I, you know, and I really, I had to, I don't know, like I said, just get serious, and really so much of it is God's grace that I can't explain God's grace. You only see the effects of it, and I'm living it, and I'm so, so grateful for that. I can't even tell you enough. And for my friendships, the women in my life today, and especially Shelley and Barb and Bridget, I mean, the road gets narrower, and I because of that relapse with that woman in AA, I have to protect my heart and my life. And the thing is, it's like... you have to know who to trust, and that's really important to me, is to just be careful and discern and walk slowly. I'm doing this deal really slow. I know I didn't talk about the steps at all because I'm trying to just live it, you know, and I'm so grateful and happy, and that's all.